Obviously, today is one of those days that a lot of us are feeling some sadness. We'll get to the passing, the one-year anniversary of the passing on your former teammate Kobe Bryant later on. But I wanted to ask you, you're a dual citizen. You played for Canada's national team. Do people down south in the United States realize how on the rise Canadian basketball actually is?
I think so, just based on how many players are in the NBA now. You know, when I was growing up in Vancouver, Nash, Samuel F. Dellenbeer, that's, you know, Carl English. I can think of those guys playing, but Jamal McGlure, other than that, that's all I can name. And that was it, you know. So to see how many players are coming through to the NBA and representing the country, it's fantastic. And I'm very proud of everybody who's represent.
Well, I was going to say, do you take any kind of sense of, you know, pride in the fact that you kind of, you know, helped set the, I don't know, foundation, if you want to call it? Like, you know, when you were in the league, it was like, wow, there's a Canadian. There he is. He's on Kobe's team. Like, isn't that amazing? And now every single night, it's not just, you know, notable that there's a Canadian in the league, but it's like you look at what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's doing, or you look at Jamal Murray. It's like you have real kind of stars, and it's just kind of, it feels like your generation of guys should really take kind of pride and kind of, at least as far as I'm concerned, setting that foundation.
You know what? I'm just blessed to be able to say I played basketball and I got to live my dream. And I didn't, if I was able to, you know, help somebody be able to reach their goals as well, that's awesome. But at the same time, man, it was all a blessing. And I just commend all these young cats that are just representing so well, and they're doing so great in the league. It's great to see.
Robert, you went to Gonzaga, and we know they're one of the threats here to potentially win it all in March Madness in a couple months. Is this the year they go really deep? Because Gonzaga feels like the team in the tournament that everybody picks to go deep, and then somehow, some way, they fall
stop.
Short. Is this their
stop.
Year?
I'm going to stop you right there, man.
Is this the year?
This is the year, man, and I believe in whatever you put out there, well, you know, you cut back. So I'm going to say it right now. I feel like Gonzaga, this is our championship year, and I watch those guys play every day, and they're fantastic. You know, I can't really see any flaws in their game and any cracks in their dam. Really, it's pretty impressive. They do everything so well from top to bottom. For me, I've always had high standards for Gonzaga, and they're achieving all of them.
You know, you've played at Gonzaga, you've played in the NBA, but you also spent a little time playing over in Japan. What was that kind of like? What, you know, I mean, we've heard stories from guys in other sports playing in different leagues in different countries. Just how different was it kind of from a, you know, a cultural standpoint, or both kind of, you know, the culture of the country and then the culture of the sport over there?
Oh, Japan was fantastic, man. I love everything about the culture, the people, the environment. I lived in Tokyo. I played in downtown Shibuya Square, basically where that crazy crosswalk is, and you know, I got to see all of Japan. So the league is growing. It's great to see. It's a big man's league for the imports. All the imports are all former five men and four men from the NBA, and it's tremendous to see that there is still a post game somewhere in this world. And I was really grateful to be able to have that opportunity to be over there and enjoy myself.
Robert Sacre, former Los Angeles Lakers center, co-host of the Believe in the Zags podcast, joining us here, Sportsnet tonight, George and Brent, on the Sportsnet radio network. Robert, obviously, today is the one-year anniversary of the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant and eight others in that helicopter crash in Los Angeles. Where were you? How did you find out about the news? And how much disbelief were you in that this can't be real?
I think the disbelief part is the truest statement anybody could say, because I just thought it was one of them like TMZ hoaxes, you know what I'm saying? And And then once my phone started going crazy, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, this is real. And I was here at my house in Spokane, and I was kind of at disbelief, you know, and it's just such a tragic thing to happen, and it just puts things in perspective that, you know, for him, helicopters is like jumping in a car and going to work every day, or going to, you know, for him, going to daughter's practice or a game. And to put that, you know, you never know when your day may come, and that's why we have to be so grateful for what we have and live in the moment.
You know, I remember I was working that day, and, you know, I was doing updates every hour on our station, and just saying it that often, those words coming out of my mouth, it definitely, you know, felt weird. I can only imagine how it felt hearing it to a guy like you who had that kind of relationship with him, having played with him. What was it like kind of, you know, having a teammate that's as famous as Kobe is? You know, you play in the NBA, there are going to be accomplished guys on your team, but he's at a completely different level. He's at a stratosphere
he's
that
Kobe
there's only
Bryant.
A few of them, right? What's it like, kind of, what's it like being teammates and knowing a guy that's kind of at that level?
Well, it's easy to just say he's at that level because he didn't even have to finish his last name, you know? His name was just Kobe, and if you said that anywhere in the world, everybody knew who Kobe was, right? So it was surreal. Those 4 years I played with him and got to know him, it was just a surreal moment. I'm very blessed to say that I was able to spend time with him and get to know him as a person and as a player. And I can't really put words to it. It's just such a surreal time.
Robert, what's your favorite Kobe Bryant story?
I got a lot, man, but
we'd love to hear
it. Yeah, well, most of them are pretty explicit, so I just, because of how we talk, you know, just the way we talk to each other and everything, and how I talk with them. But I would always tell him, hey, man, I don't want to play with you. And when we'd be in practice, I'm like, man, I don't want to play on your team, man. I want to play against you, so it's fun to whoop your old ass. And we just had that kind of banter in practice, and you know, he respected me, I respected him, and we had a good relationship, and he knew I liked to talk that trash, and no matter what, he always held me to that, and I always held him to trying to be the best he could be, which that wasn't hard, you know. So I think we had a great relationship, and, you know, it's wild to just think about.
Well, and, you know, everything we hear about him, he must have loved you for that, right? The fact that you didn't shy away from it, the fact that you went right back at him, it feels like, you know, that would only kind of endear you to a guy like Kobe.
Yeah, man, because I just realized everybody's a human being. We're all people here, man. No matter what, we all have to put our pants on the same way, so I ain't afraid of no man but God. So that's how I feel, and I'll tell anybody and everybody what's on my mind, and that's what we had. That was our relationship, and that's why we got to connect so well.
So in terms of telling people what's on your mind, you know, obviously Kobe is kind of the most famous, the most notable teammate you had. But you played with some interesting characters in L.A., you know, from Dwight Howard to Swaggy P to Metta World Peace. I mean, like, I don't know if you have any stories about those guys, but just what was it like being in that locker room with some of those personalities at times?
Yeah, no, I easily can say I had the craziest 4 years in Laker history. Nobody could easily say I look back at four coaches in 4 years, and I played with the Hall of Famers to crazy famers to whatever you want to call them. But I played with some characters, and, you know, it's part of the journey. You know, I know I keep saying this, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed to say that I was a part of that journey and got to go through it. It made me the man I am now, and what a great time.
Robert, I know you just said you fear no man, but when you played for the Lakers, was there ever a moment where you got a little starstruck seeing somebody sitting courtside?
Ooh, man, there's so many. that was the reason why I got so hyped on the bench, to keep me engaged with the games. Because otherwise, you're looking around, you're like, oh, that's Floyd Mayweather. Oh, that's Denzel Washington. Oh, man, that's, you know, that's the lead singer Kiss. That's Jack Black. All of a sudden, it's just like, wow. So that's why I was always, you know, hyped on the bench to keep me engaged. Otherwise, it's easy to get distracted on that.
Robert Sacre, a former Los Angeles Lakers center, played for our national team, co-host of the Believe in the Zags podcast. Robert, thanks for taking time tonight, and good luck to your Bulldogs in the tournament.
Oh, thank you, man. And we don't need luck. We just need to be there. Do it.